In this example, we have a food bank where it has primarily relied on government funding over the years. And that government funding has gotten a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller and just a little bit smaller yet every year. And they've managed to sort of make it work, right? We all just make it work. But they haven't never took the time to step back and say, you know, maybe we ought to expand our donor base. Maybe we ought to make sure that our mission is still relevant in the community in which we're operating. And before you know it, you find yourself in a situation where their funding disappears overnight government shutdown. We can make it topical, or if it's just one of those things that that line item gets cut in budget negotiations, and there you are. So a couple things to think about in this situation is, do you have multiple income streams? Did the charity have an endowment or a rainy day fund? The accountants in the room, well, of course, what a terrible idea to just rely on a sole source of single type of income. Another thing to think about is the cause of your revenue decline, whether it be government funding or whether it be small donor donations. Is the thing that's causing your revenue decline the same thing that's going to increase the demand for your services in the first place? Yeah. And then you're going to find yourself in a real pickle, because you're going to have all this place where you want to move mission, you want to make a difference, you want to do the thing that you were existed to set up to do, and that's the very thing that's keeping you from having the resources to do it. And so you want to be thinking about in advance, when the bad stuff happens that takes my money away, is that going to be the bad thing that's also going to make me have more services that I have to provide? And the last thing to think about is, how relevant is your mission? Is there a reason why nobody's funding you? And obviously you don't want to only do what donors want you to do, but I think it's something that the charities always have to think about. Is there a reason why I'm not connecting? Is there a reason why our funding is slowly drying up? And it may be that your mission is actually perfectly relevant, you just have a hard time articulating exactly in a way that resonates and brings in those dollars.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to turn over to how to think about risk and tools for managing it.
Yeah. So I'm going to take the first slide and talk about understanding risk. And in putting this together, you can think of each of these bullets as a tool for helping you understand risk and helping you deal with risk. There's a tab at tab 14, the private foundation session that's going on has this beautiful toolkit for dealing with risk for private foundations. However, that was developed by private foundations, and when you see it's like 20 people or 25 people in Maine foundations, and it was a consortium. So, but it's still
it's
very beautifully formatted, but we have an outline and we have this and we have bullet points. So the first thing with understanding risk is you've got to, one, know your mission, and you've got to know your business. And this was another instance where Kate said, Nicola, aren't those the same thing? And I said, no. They seem like they're the same thing, but they're not. Because knowing your mission, to me, is knowing your charitable activities, right? We're public charities. We provide lots of services. And in providing those services, there are certain risks. So it's really important for you to know what your services are, what your activities are, right? Because then you can identify risk by, hey, we're going to take these kids on a field trip. Or, hey, we're going to have a petting zoo at our little charity zoo. Right? So one, you got to know your mission, know your charitable activities. And then know your business. That's broader. That's much broader. That goes to your back office that supports your mission, right? That's knowing your sources of funding. It's knowing your financial systems. It's knowing your IT systems, right? That is knowing your marketing, knowing that you've got the right people talking to you. So that's the first thing in understanding risk. You got to know your business, know your mission. You've got to define. That means more than just putting, hey, IT, that's risk. That's not enough. You've got to define what that risk looks like. It's not just the name of the risk. It's what is it, and is that a high risk, medium risk, low risk? That's a critical tool. Then you want to be able to quantify and label risk tolerance and risk aversion. So this is another instance where Kate and Nicola had a little bit back and forth, because I'd read some things that had suggested that it would be good for nonprofits to have a risk tolerance statement. Are we going to be aggressive? Because sometimes, especially if you're a younger organization, you want to get your programs out there, you want to start serving people, and so you're willing to tolerate a little bit more risk than if you're a nonprofit that's been around for 35 or 50 years, right? And so I think, oh, yeah, a risk tolerance statement. That sounds good. Board can do it. Hire. And then Kate says.
And then to me, I felt litigators in the back of my head going, oh, please don't write down that you don't care about rules, right? So my point about this is there are lots of resources out in the world that tell you or talk about how to drive a risk conversation in your organization. Maybe it's the paragraph on what the risk tolerance is. Maybe it's the risk matrices where you plot a risk, how bad it would be and how likely it is, and you can put it in the four quadrants. My point is, use the tools that are most likely to drive the conversation and make change within your organization. Don't use the tools for tools' sake. Because what I've seen happen in the past is people get really excited about a paragraph, and they spend hours writing this beautiful paragraph. And then that's it. They've done all the risk management they're going to do. And so you don't want to expend all of your energy and political capital that you're going to need to sort of get an organization to shift on the paragraph.
Exactly.
Right? You also don't want to spend all this time making this beautiful risk chart that you never use. You're actually then probably worse off than you were when you started.